Yeah, we started it a couple of weeks ago, and Keith started it, and then Taddy was speaking last week, and it's my turn this week. Well, what I can say as I was preparing this is it is absolutely criminal what we've been doing. 3 weeks to cover the first 20, 30 chapters of Exodus. It is just, it's not on, but we will maybe at another time look in more detail at Moses' life. Because it is absolutely wonderful. I thought that was my microphone going, but it's someone drilling the walls. It's a helicopter. All I can hear is the da-da-da-da-da-da, and it sounded like someone with one of those drills. Welcome to my world. Yeah, Keith looked a couple of weeks ago, and he was looking at the early life of Moses and up into the burning bush, and of course the humility that Moses displayed as he took his sandals off, because the Lord called him out of the bush and said, the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. And then Taddy continued it up to Moses obeying the word of the Lord and going to Pharaoh to ask that he let God's people go. And through all the plagues and right to the Passover, and it's so much in there. You could have done a whole year series on that so far. And of course, Taddy was drawing out how that there are no gods but the one true God, and how while in Egypt they had many gods, hundreds of gods, and some came with certain amount of power, demonic power, but nothing came to the God that we worship, because he alone is God. And of course, as we put our faith in him, like the Israelites painting the blood on the lintels of the door, as we put our faith in him, he is the faithful God to deliver us out of Egypt. This morning it's going to be even worse, because we're going from there through to Mount Sinai. And so much happens, you know. We've got the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh's army. We'll have them then out in the wilderness, and God providing the manna and the quail. We'll have him turning the sour water sweet. We'll have him bringing water out of the rock. And then we'll have him approaching Mount Sinai. 3 months it took them to get from that night when God delivered them, when God passed over them, to get to the feet of Mount Sinai. And we're going to skip those 3 months. And even in this 1 week, I'm going to be looking at the 3 months that the children of Israel spent at Mount Sinai. Or at least 3 months, possibly a lot longer. And it's a real... I would really, really encourage you to set aside some time to go through this. There's so much in it. It is wonderful, wonderful stuff. And a real foundation block to our Christian lives. As we see the things that God is starting to set out for his people. Because this is the first time God has had, as it were, a people. And we've seen on the Sunday evenings how he called Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then we're looking at Jacob's children, and of course we're going to see them moving to Egypt, and then this is the 430 years later, him bringing his people out of Egypt. And so he's going to start laying down principles for them, and of course they're principles that we can then bring into our relationship with God, because the whole thing is God has not changed. God is still the holy God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. God is still the same God that was faithful to his word about the blood and how the angel of death passed over, the destroyer passed over those households. And so we're now going to see God at Mount Sinai, and what a wonderful time this is. There's a purpose, of course, to what happens at Mount Sinai, and I am not going to have time this morning to fill in all the details of what went on, and that is for you to have a look at. If you turn to Exodus 19, though, I want to read some verses. keep your Bibles open. If you have a Bible with you, keep them open, because we will be reading quite a wee bit out of Exodus here this morning. Exodus 19. You see, what we must bear in mind, right, what happens at Mount Sinai is the Lord descends upon the mountain in a dense, dense cloud. And at times there's thunder and lightning, and at times it looks like a consuming fire, and all sorts of different things, and we'll read some of that shortly. But this wasn't all so that Moses could go up the mountain and meet God. Moses already met God. Moses already communed with God in a way that I would suggest goes beyond any of our communions with God. We'll see at the end of this how it describes Moses' relationship as he spoke as to a friend face to face. It's mind-boggling. So Moses already met with God. The whole idea of what goes on here at Mount Sinai isn't for Moses' benefit. We're going to read here the purpose of it, Exodus 19, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. Just to set a bit of context. So in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. And after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Now, if you know, there's 600,000 men, plus women and children. This is not a wee camping expedition. This is a mass migration of people out of Egypt. Well over 1 million, possibly a couple of million, easy, of people. Laden down with all the treasures of Egypt. Unbelievable. So that's the people. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you're to say to the house of Jacob, and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you're to speak to the Israelites." You see, Moses already was communing with God and speaking with God and hearing God speak to him. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. So here, I just wanted to illustrate this because it's an important foundation, I think, here as we're doing this whole Sinai business. So the Lord had a word for Moses to speak to the people. But what Moses does is he gathers the elders of the people and speaks to them. And the elders make their response on behalf of everybody. Moses here isn't standing in front of 2 million people declaring all this, trying to expect all those children to be quiet so that, you know, he can be heard. Moses is standing before, and we'll find out later, 70 elders and maybe a few others. Small group. You could fit them all in this hall. And these people are representatives of all the different clans. And then no doubt these people would go out to all the sort of clan leaders. Maybe they had a group of 70, and they went to their wee group of 70 and disseminated what Moses said. And then all these guys went back to their families and disseminated it further, and then brought their response back. And of course then we see Moses going back to God and telling God what the people had said. So Moses has this good relationship with God already. And then in verse 9 it said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you.' Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said." The Lord is spelling out to Moses the purpose of what's going to take place at Sinai. It's so that the people will recognize that Moses is speaking on behalf of God. It's so that the people will trust Moses when he comes and tells them what the Lord has said. It's so that they will, when they're listening to Moses, they will say, "This is God speaking to us." And they will prick up their ears and listen. The purpose of this event at Sinai or one of the purposes in it being so monumental and awesome is so that the people recognize that God is speaking, and he is speaking through Moses. Moses speaks for God. Well, we start off in this event, in these events in Sinai, with Moses doing an awful lot of up and down. I tell you, for an 80-year-old, this guy's good. He's up and down this mountain, or even as Tally was sharing Wednesday, probably a big range of mountains. He was up and down like nobody's business. And you sort of, you never think about it, is it? An 80-year-old. And up he goes, and down he comes, and up he goes, and down he comes. He must be fit. But anyway, God tells him, right, Moses, we've got to set limits around this mountain. We cannot have anyone coming onto this mountain. It's like the burning bush. This is a holy mountain. This is to be separate from everything else, and no one is to cross the limits. Not even your animals are to cross the limits. And if someone does, or an animal does, you're not to go after them, because then you've gone beyond the limits. You're to stone them or shoot them with an arrow. That's how serious a business this is. You must not cross the limits. The people must know this is a holy mountain. The people must know what sort of God I am, that I can't just be approached willy-nilly. You approach me willy-nilly, you will have death to pay. I am God Almighty. I am holy. I am in one sense, I am unapproachable. And that is what the limit represents for us, that we cannot approach God. However, we see in the fact that Moses is already going up and down, we see that there's something else going on here. So I want to read from chapter 20. Moses is here, he's just received the Ten Commandments. Verse 18, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. It's working. This event is working. The people are realizing what's going on here. The people are seeing the lightning, seeing the smoke. At other points it says seeing the fire. They're hearing the lightning, the thunder, which is what I think is the thunder is the voice of God. I don't think the people could hear what God was saying to Moses. All they could hear was the thunder. And they were saying, don't, Moses, you go up there all you like, but don't get God speaking to us. We cannot bear it. And here we're seeing again, it's like the limit's set. We can't, this is a holy God. We can't just assume that we can hear him speak to us. He's awesome. The gulf between us and God is so great. And that is one of the things that God is showing the people of Israel here at Mount Sinai. Because you have to remember, these guys, they don't have the Bible to go on. All these guys have had for 430 years living in amongst all these idols of Egypt. The only, how many of them came? It was just Jacob and his family. So they have very limited experience of God. The Bible doesn't tell us what way they experienced God in Egypt. But I would suggest the majority of their experience of God would have surrounded all the gods of Egypt and all that idolatry. And what God is saying here is, come to me. I am different from all these gods. I am the one true God. You cannot approach me. You cannot hear. You cannot even bear to hear my voice. That's the sort of God I am, because I am the creator of heaven and earth. So they said to Moses, speak to us yourself. Verse 20, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. You see, Moses reveals to the people the purpose. And here, of course, when Moses is speaking, the people are pricking up their ears and listening, because God is demonstrating that he is speaking to them through Moses. And Moses is saying, don't be afraid. God is wanting you to know who he is. so that you will walk in his ways. God is wanting you to be sure that he is the one true God, and so that very knowledge will keep you from wandering off on all sorts of different paths, but that it will focus you to walk the straight and narrow, to listen to what God is about to tell you, and that the fear that you've experienced will be a reminder to you to listen to what God has spoken. And of course we see here that the second purpose, not only to so that people will trust Moses, but that they will listen to him and follow Moses, so that they won't just know that Moses is meeting with God, but so that they will listen to what he says, and so that they won't go off. And when we think of sinning, we just think of falling short of God's standards, going off in your own direction, thinking that we know the best way to run the nation of Israel. No. Listen to what Moses says and follow him. So, we're going to fly through the next few visits of Moses up Mount Sinai. First time he goes up, well, we've already had him up getting the Ten Commandments, and then he goes back up and he receives all sorts of different laws. There's loads of them. And I don't expect, I expect when you read about these in Leviticus and lots of other Numbers and Deuteronomy, you're getting the fuller version of what's revealed to him. And he comes back down, chapter 24, just going to read one verse, you don't really need to turn to it. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." So then Moses writes down everything that's been said, and he goes back up the mountain. And that is when... I need to read this, but I'll read from verse 9. Moses and Aaron, this is chapter 24 of Exodus. This is just before Moses goes back up again. So Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. See, here God is now making an even further exception. He's inviting the elders up to meet him too. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against those leaders of the Israelites. You see, he has invited them to come beyond the limits. And so he doesn't raise his hand against them. He protects them from his holiness. They saw God and they ate and drank. What would you give for a wee video clip of that experience? You know, you can have all the YouTube clips you like, but to see a wee clip of what went on there is phenomenal. But then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up." That was sort of the outer presence. But then he invites Moses right up into the... He said, verse 12, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instructions.' So then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant." See, at times God gives permission for others to come in too. You know, Aaron came up at one point, and then this is Joshua coming up. So he goes up into the clouds, and he's there for 40 days. So he's already received the Ten Commandments, he's already received the laws. Now, this visit up to God, he receives all the information about building a tabernacle. And what the tabernacle was going to be, so you've got this mass campsite of 2 million, probably, people. And what God wants to do is set up his camp right in the middle of it. And so what he does in these chapters is he gives Moses very precise instructions as to how to build his tent. And that's what we're going to be looking at in more detail up until Christmas. We're going to be looking at some details of this tent that God made, because this was where the people could come to approach God. The same God that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, the same God that allowed the destroyer to pass over these people's houses, the same God that was appearing in fire and smoke and thunder and lightning on Mount Sinai, was wanting to make his tent amongst his people so that they could all approach him. And we're going to learn a lot of lessons as to how people approached God and see that that still applies. So much of it still applies for us today. So let's fly over to chapter 31. We're going to skip all that for now. Verse 18, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Wow. I have to confess, I never really have seen Moses in his true light. If you ask me, if you put a gun to my head and said, right, I want you to list the Old Testament characters in terms of importance, I would have put Moses in there at sort of 5 or 6. No way. Moses is top of the pile for me. The relationship that he had with God, the things that he experienced from God. He had God hand him two big stones that God himself had written on. Wow. Unfortunately, the next few verses, or the next chapter, start to explain that. You see, for these 40 days that Moses has been away, the people have started to lose faith already. Listen to what it says. When the people saw that Moses was so long coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us God. Make us a God, or make us gods, who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people brought took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron, and he took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, or this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. Unbelievable. But I always have a wee bit of sympathy, because I know how unfaithful I can be in my relationship with God. And this guy Moses, he's gone into what looks like a huge fire, and he's been away for 40 days, and the guys are probably, the rumors started to spread, he's there was something wrong, he's been consumed, what will we do, Aaron, what will we do? And Aaron, of course, he gives in. He realizes, by the way, when Moses come down immediately, that he did wrong, because what he says he did was he got all the gold and threw it in the fire and out jumped this calf, as if by magic, even though it says that he got a tool and fashioned it. But we don't have time to go into it, but we see here that as much as the Lord impresses on us the fear of him, we are so fickle of heart. And to witness what these guys have just witnessed, like even if you take it back the last six months of their life, they have witnessed the Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, the different miracles in the wilderness, and now the Lord's presence on the mountain. And these guys have actually gone and they have seen God. Because we're probably just talking about the 70 elders here. They've seen God and the like sapphire thing that his feet seem to be on, and they ate and they drank in God's presence, and within 40 days they've made a golden calf and said, this is God. We need to be so very, 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 very careful. in our Christian life. And I'm going to have to finish here. I don't have time to say everything I would like to say. But we need to be so very, very careful who we listen to. You see, God made it so, he went to extreme lengths here so that the people would know to listen to Moses. And really, listen to Moses alone. It is him who is speaking for me. Now, we don't just have Moses. We have Jesus too. And we need to be very sure. There's lots of people. You see, Aaron was a good guy. And here he is making the... He presents the people and said, here's the God. And the people listen to him. So easy to fall into the trap of being impatient, you know, waiting to hear from God. And we become impatient. Think, well, maybe I'll find my answer somewhere else. And we start looking somewhere else for our answer from God. We need to be so sure who we listen to. And I'm going to finish by sharing a few verses that God spoke to Moses on his next trip up the mountain after the golden calf incident. And a few things happen, and he goes up and Moses breaks the tablet of stone in frustration, and God in all his grace writes him two new ones. They're not just photocopies, they're brand new stones written with the finger of God yet again. But Moses says to God in verse 18, now Moses said, now show me your glory. And a wonderful verse that means so much to me. That's chapter 33, verse 18. Moses says, now show me your glory. And God goes into a whole thing. You can read it yourself. But as he passes by Moses, he puts his hand over Moses' eyes so that he can't see his face, and then passes by. And as God passes by Moses, listen to what God says to Moses. Verse 6. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. The Lord, the Lord, the this is God revealing to Moses something more of who he is. This is, you know, this isn't out of a burning bush. This isn't a fleece like Gideon. This is God putting his hand over Moses' face and walking past him saying, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate, the gracious God, slow to anger. God's saying, I am slow to anger. I am gracious. I am abounding in love and faithfulness. I maintain love to thousands. I forgive wickedness. I forgive rebellion. I forgive sin. Only the guilty will go punished. And we'll hear more of that in the weeks to come. Lord, we are... We would love to experience something like Moses experienced, Lord. We have to experience it by faith, not by sight. But Lord, you have not changed. And in fact, Lord, while it is awesome to think of you speaking to Moses in all these different ways, yet, Lord, you speak to us. And you are the same God. You have not changed. Lord, help us by faith to be blown away by who you are. By your holiness, by your awesomeness. The fact that we shouldn't ever be able to ever approach you. We shouldn't be able to put up with your voice. It should deafen us. It should destroy us. But rather, Lord, you're gracious and compassionate to your people. And Lord, help us in the week that comes before us, Lord, not to be impatient. Not to be like the elders who just wanted something there and then and swapped you for a calf made of gold. Lord, help us, because we're so prone to making the same mistakes. For your name's sake, amen.